Welcome to Your Financial Destination Show, an educational investment series hosted by Roger Hamilton, featuring strategies to enhance your retirement income. During his 14 years as a financial advisor, Roger has provided sound advice on how to improve personal investments to hundreds of people, many of whom are Seaside FM listeners. To discuss how to improve your investments, email Roger at roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 20 minutes, we'll go over a few ideas, share some strategies, all to help you improve your investment returns and to enhance your present and or future retirement income. You know, from time to time, we like to welcome and bring a guest on our show and share their financial or marketing expertise. And one of the indicators of how the economy is doing, whether it's expanding growth or a slowdown, a couple of two indicators are housing sales and automotive sales. And here to speak about the business of the auto business is Andrew McPhee, president of McPhee Ford. And good morning, Andrew, and welcome.
Good morning, Roger. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get right into the numbers. Let's go. So for 2023 this year, how are Ford's numbers across the country in relation to previous years?
So Ford in particular would be on an increase, and in generally speaking, the market is up from 2022, which of course is kind of a weird benchmark to base it off of because of lots of shortages and lots of different things happened in 2022. So yeah, so overall, it's a gain.
It's recovered back from 2022, which was a most of the down year.
Yeah, so 21 would be the most down year, and then 22 was a moderate increase, and this is an increase on top of that.
So getting
but
back.
Definitely not pre-COVID numbers yet.
So any difference geographically with Ford in Canada? So in other words, Atlantic Canada per capita sells as many as what Ontario and Western? Are there certain hotbeds that Ford does extremely well in the country?
Yeah, so Ford is a very even keeled manufacturer, so there's no real one market that they excel in. So they're they would be a number two player for the most part in retail car sales across the country and almost across the board. I mean, the trucks do very well in the West, the SUVs do very well in Ontario, but overall the number seems to balance out to equal market shares from coast to coast. There'd be no real pockets.
So one of the effects that are rising interest rates have affected all of us on the markets and on our cost of borrowing and so on. So again, the rising interest rates, has that affected the Ford sales or car sales in general, I guess, too?
Yeah, so great question. The interest rates are, we talk about it all the time. It has made the slowest recession to come. We've been talking about it, it seems like, for 18 months. The interest rates are going up and everything's going to slow down. Yeah. And we can all watch this happening, but it's not really...
It's a slow motion recession.
It's a very slow motion recession. That's the way we talk about it all the time. So interest rates have sort of done its purpose. It's curb some demand. And really it's I would call it, maybe unnecessary purchases, that they've gotten rid of that mm-hmm. this, you know, the prime rate's at 6 and a change, and, you know, which means bank loans are a little bit more than that. So that has really slowed down the, not so much new car sales, but the used car sales. So you go to trade in vehicles just because the payment to mm-hmm. keep a used car payment lower with higher interest rates means it has to be captured at a lower number.
Right.
And that, you know, that in turn is slowing, has caused a slowdown in demand. So
now, has Ford, like manufacturer, have they come up with their own low interest rates again? Are they back to that? They're trying to.
Yeah, just recently. That's a recent phenomenon. About, I would say, about 90, maybe 100 days ago, about 90 days ago, 100 days ago, they reintroduced lower rates at like 2.99%.
So 3%, 2.9, yeah. You can get on leases or purchases or both?
That would be a bit of both, or primarily purchases.
For how long a term would that be?
I get 2.99. Would be for 6 years.
So you can lock in your money at 3% for six years again.
Yeah.
So use Ford's money, not your own, because that's quite a saving. So I wondered if they're going to go back to some low rates and attract people back in. You can borrow money at 3% and keep your own.
And for, you know, being in the car business forever, it's funny, the 0% that we used to have years ago, but, you know, back then the prime was 1.25 or 1.5. Yeah. It actually costs less to go from 1.5 to, if you think about from a manufacturer's point of view, now it's, you know, 6.15, 6.2 down to 3% is actually more costly on a more expensive asset.
Yep.
It's really an odd situation.
But good rate to have. Yeah. So take me back about 4 years. the tumultuous decade we've had here with COVID. So COVID outbreak, February of 2020, everything with supplies were cut, auto supplies were cut. So tell me about this tech chip supply problem that occurred that seemed to affect every car manufacturer February, March of 2020.
Yeah, it was quite fascinating. Of course, no one knew what was going to happen in February, March of 2020. And there's a couple of things that kind of happened. One is it's very centralized in the world where these microchips come from. So primarily there's about five countries that produce them, but Taiwan is the biggest, by far the biggest. So you're centralized in one location. There happened to be a fire that melted one of the plants. And like when I say a plant, like it's a, you know, picture about, you know, 6 or 7 football field size plant. So that goes down.
Major fire. Major disruption.
And at the same time, there's like a a multifaceted answer to this. But what happened was is those same microchips go in, gaming machines. They go in your fridge. They go in all these high-tech devices as well as cars. And, of course, the automakers, a couple things happened. One is the supply was shorted, but also auto manufacturers said, well, we think there's going to be a slowdown in demand of automotive cars. We'll say no. Well, when you say no to, pick a number, but probably said no to like 10 million chips. Well, they say, okay, great. Well, we'll put them into cell phones, like your cell phone needs a microchip. Yeah. The same factory just diverts it. They don't stop it. They just divert it.
This was every manufacturer, Ford, GM, Toyota, the whole bunch. You're all not going to have your chips. Yeah. The chips were down and there was no cars to be had. I mean, that was pretty, yeah.
It was wild. And they predicted, the world economy is going to come to a grinding halt.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see the demand. Well, almost the opposite happened. Not that it was a spike, but it maintained steady demand. That's
very
what
quickly
happened.
The markets recovered. Money was poured in, but there was no car supply. So has that problem been resolved? Like it won't happen again or best not happen again?
So they are working on it. There is an actual act in the United States to build chips in the United States. It's not moving forward as quick as everyone sort of thinks, because to build a chip factory takes quite a while. So, but that will, in time, in about 3 years' time, you'll see a domestic supply, say domestic North American supply, and there'll be more than just five countries. Like there'll be other democratic states are doing the same thing.
It won't be quite a monopoly. I'm the only chip maker around, and you got to wait for me.
That's right.
Puts you in quite a bind when all your eggs in one basket.
So it's freed up anyways. And generally, there's other supply constraints from, getting seats and, the heaters that go in your heated seats, all these things.
Yeah, there's certain things you had to cut out.
That's right.
It's almost like watching those home improvement shows. We can build up a new staircase, but you're not going to have the bathroom. So you have to give up something to get your staircase.
Good analogy. That's exactly what it was like. It was very,
So the waiting periods, I guess, back in 21, people said, I had to wait a year to order a car because, again, no supply and chips. Has that waiting list shrunk any? Can you now order a car and get it quicker than what it was back in 21?
Yeah, so like in the world that I live in, I can confidently say yes, but for the most part, even the other manufacturers would compete against, the timelines are much shorter, like significantly shorter, and some manufacturers they've really streamlined the process, got rid of a few options. Instead of having 17 choices, they got it down to 5, and they're back into a regular routine of 3 to 4 months of getting a car here.
So with that, so you can get one reasonable time. So also, too, as mentioned earlier, so the lack of supply with new cars also drove up the used price cars. There's quite a shortage in both. Is that still big demand for used cars still? Or big prices for used cars?
Yeah, so relatively speaking, I would say, the it's a bit of both. There's demand because people that can't afford to move into the new car market, there's still a higher demand than normal for used. But what's sort of happened in the world that we live in, especially the domestic manufacturers and some of the off-makes, we would call them, they stopped selling rental cars. So because I'm thinking on this, like the rental cars was the biggest source of used cars in Canada. Like
the buybacks,
we used to call it, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they stopped selling them to rental car companies because they wanted to build cars for customers that had sold orders. So this whole, like in our world, it was like Ford, it was like 17,000 units a year, went to zero for 2 years. So that, and then General Motors.
That's quite a drop.
It's a big drop. Yeah, the math is very easy to figure out. Yeah. And other manufacturers did the same. So then this is what created the glut in the used car, or the shortage in the used car market. So the prices have sort of maintained. So when you get to 5 and 6 and 8 year old used cars, that seems to have stabilized.
Okay.
And then it's relatively new, is still, consumer perception, even us, the market will bear what it will bear, but the the number of like 21s, call it 2-year-old and less used cars, those have, they're closer to the new car price right. than we would ever been accustomed to here.
In the old days, drive off and lose money. So I also see probably most inventories aren't as big anymore on the dealer's lots. At one time, they'd have 400 or 500 cars and 19 different shades of blue for one car, and you had your choice, right. as if the dealer was actually building that car that day and manufacturing for you. So I assume nowadays you don't have the same, most dealerships don't have the same type of big inventory anymore?
Yeah, that's definitely correct. And that would go across the board. And like doing some research, like once again, outside my small world, the Ford world, all the manufacturers that produce cars for Canada, they're obsessed with this short day supply. So it's very expensive for the manufacturers to have cars on dealers' lots that are costing interest, and then dealers going, they're not selling, I need incentives. So there's this weird balance where you need some to display, but the manufacturers want to be like 45-day supply, where like back a few years ago, like when we were together, it was like you always had you had 100-day supply.
Oh, really?
And you could pick anything, but now it's half that amount.
Oh, walk the lot and pick whatever you wanted, and there you go.
Yeah, so the manufacturers know that there's a cost to having too many days supply.
Now, what are the 2 or 3 most popular models right now in the Ford lineup?
The truck, right? So always a truck. So F-150 by far. And then our little SUV, so our Escape and Bronco Sport would be our 2 and 3,
right in that range. So SUVs and trucks, that's the market.
That's for us, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be back. So those are the popular units. We're going to be back to enhance your popularity, Andrew, shortly here. More business of the auto business. And we'll be talking sort of back to the future, electric and hybrid and the autos and the future of the electric cars and Ford in general. Okay. And we'll do that right after this break.
On the Financial Destination Show, we want you to become more educated, knowledgeable, and comfortable with your investments. Check your results over the past 5 years. Do you feel they should have done better? What would you want changed to improve performance over the next 5 years? Tune in every Thursday morning at 9:10 to hear more on how to improve your retirement income.
And we're back with Andrew McPhee, president of McPhee Ford, a family-owned business. So first off, your father still involved in the car business, I would assume.
Yes, he's there every day.
He's never going to give up, is he?
No, he is not.
And just wondering, has he given you any of the passwords or the secret codes to the family vaults yet?
No, they're safely secure with my mom,
okay.
Mary. Yeah,
so you're never going to get those.
Never going to get them. I feel like Prince Charles.
He was 70 before he got the throne, so he got a ways to go yet. So stay with it. Always good to keep some back from the kids anyway, I always say. Don't keep them to them all. All right. So anyway, but the future right now is now with hybrids and fully electric vehicles, automobiles. So I guess take it away. What is the future you see in the next, 3 to 5 years with the electric vehicles? And we'll get a couple of questions that might be a problem I can think of that might happen.
So, my first comment is always, it's not so much an if as a when. Like, this is happening, the battery electric vehicles and the hybrids. It's coming. It's just a matter of when. The pace of change seems to be very high right now. Like they're forcing it, with incentives, government incentives and whatnot.
So what percentage of your vehicles now would be electric? 10% or 20 of the fleet?
In terms of we would carry 2 models, but in terms of our volume, it would be less than 5%.
Okay.
Right?
At this point.
And across the nation, it varies with Quebec and BC being outliers. Going on some past data, Quebec and BC would be in that 10 to 12% range, and BC's actually, they're going to finish off this year with 20% of their cars being all electric.
So they're the leaders, the province would be the leader, in electric cars.
Very much so.
More so urban areas?
Very much so. There's definitely an urban-rural divide across the country.
Okay.
And then, when you get into major metro markets like the Torontos and the Montreals and the Vancouvers of the world, the percentage is even higher still.
And that would be because of the more accessible to charging stations, I would assume would be the issue, is we're a very widespread country and there's quite a gap in northern New Brunswick and even our province. Yeah. So I guess more in the city areas, urban, there's more charging stations. That's why they're more applicable right now?
Yeah, the infrastructure is definitely, there's 2 things that are kind of holding up. One is it's a lot. Like they're forcing a market that, naturally there'd be about 5% hand raisers, if you follow the expression, that would want to try something new. They're forcing it to 20% in 3 years' time. Like, it has to be 20%. It's legislation. It's just okay. going to happen. So it's a bit of a force. But the infrastructure, and we always call it, like, your day-to-day life, it actually is – they're quite fascinating to drive, and they're quite fascinating, like, to own. Like, we have people that have owned them for, you know, 80 and 90,000 kilometers. Very fascinating. But it's – the infrastructure isn't quite built for emergency situations. Like, okay. oh, boy, I got to go to Sydney this afternoon.
Right.
Well, if you had a gas car, you would stop in Antigonish, you would gas up, keep going. The infrastructure when you get outside of an urban area is very – that's – one of the inhibitors right now.
And so the other would be, well, make our batteries last longer. You can get, you know, 500 kilometers on a battery charge. We now have to make them so you can get 1,000 or whatever the number might be. Is that right. something that they're doing, is making longer lasting batteries?
That's correct. So, yeah, some of that is, you know, the engineers constantly working. It's much like, you know, the truck I drive, my goodness gracious, like 10 years ago, that truck would have got me, you know, 19 miles a gallon. Now that same truck I'm getting, you know, I'm getting 27 miles a gallon. Same idea. The batteries mm-hmm. are going to be just same engine. They just fine tune it and engineer things. So the and everyone has this idea, like, okay, tomorrow they're going to come out with a battery that's 1,000 kilometers instead of 500. It's going to be these small increments. Like, even the manufacturers know they're going to find the right materials and the right engineering to extend that range to.
So we're looking at a 5-year window for that to happen.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, you'll hear lots of announcements, but before it gets where rubber meets the road, it'll be a good 4 or 5 years before you start seeing this. You know, someone will crack the 1,000 kilometer range mark. It will be in a very niche vehicle, and then that will filter down to what I call, you know, like, just the new car that, yeah, that everyone can
and afford. Ford, as far as electric vehicles, is one of the leaders or in the top five of the,
yeah.
We know Tesla is it.
But, Tesla's one, yeah. yeah. And then when it comes to volume, like, their mission is actually to be number two in the country by the end of this year. They're going to be close. Yeah, they have two models.
That's pretty aggressive.
Which is very aggressive. That's volume sales, but they're going to be behind Tesla for a little bit because of the product offering we have, and everyone's getting into the marketplace, so it's going to get real competitive in 2024.
It's happening. It's just coming. Yeah. And so this is both, now, is this the hybrid with their combination gas and electric, or we're talking full electric, charge it up and off just you go?
Full electric.
No more
yeah.
gas.
No more gas, yeah.
And they expect that to be no more gas by the year 2040? Is that?
It's 2035 in Canada is the
really?
Legislation, yeah.
That's not too far
yeah,
away.
Yeah, the numbers, it is not that far away. Yeah, it's 20% of the cars by 2026 have to be sold, have to be all electric. So every okay. manufacturer has to meet that. So it's not like one manufacturer can sell 0%, okay. another. So everyone has to have 20% electric. And then by 2030, it's 60%. And then 2035, 100% of your cars. If you want to sell cars in Canada as a manufacturer, it has to, 100% of them have to be electric.
So a little more than 10 years from now, all electric.
Yeah.
And no more gas. So the concern people have, what if the power's out? What if there's a power grid and, you know, there's no power for 3 or 4 days? We're never going to get anywhere. I could drive down to the gas station to fill up my car and go to Tim Hortons and have something hot to eat. But if I had gas, but if I have electric, we're all stuck. We can't go anywhere. Is that a dilemma that's actually real?
Yeah, we get that asked a lot. I mean, we always relate it to, like, if the power's out everywhere, it's out everywhere. So it's not like a gas station can pump gas when there's no electricity. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't think many around here run on generators. So we always equate it to that. Like these significant events, like, we always have this idea, oh, a gas car, you may be able to drive further now, but within a few years, you'll be able to go further. So let's say the power's out in Halifax, but you can make it to Truro, mm-hmm. you know, then you can charge up there, right?
Okay.
Same concept. You can fill up with gas. You still have to drive back 100 kilometers. So, yeah, and that's a legitimate concern. Like, there are legitimate concerns about, you know, what do I do when the power goes out? And, of course, the inverse to that is some of the cars, electric cars, will power your house. So it's actually, there's actually a positive in it. Like, right. they can be bi-directional. You can hook up to your house.
Sort of like a generator?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh. They're I wouldn't say all of them, but a good portion of the marketplace is going that route where you can wire them to your house.
So the car has power, yeah. Can drive it home, you power it out in your house, I can plug in my car to my house and operate the fridge and the TV or something and yeah. whatever. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You can't do that on your gas.
You can't. And yeah, the hybrid seems to be the go-to right now. It's a nice baby step, especially for rural, for Atlantic Canadians, and across the country, really. Like in the prairies, they love hybrid trucks.
Yes.
So similar to the truck I would drive. So
it's the bridge between.
The bridge between, yeah. You get used to this, you know, the hover noise that a BEV or a battery electric vehicle makes. You get used to that and how the mileage works. And yeah, it's a good combination right now, and you can see that would be a stepping stone.
The transition from full electric.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So perhaps for many of us, their financial journey and destination will include an electrical road, I guess, in the next decade. So once again, thank you, Andrew McPhee, for joining us this morning. Good having you in. We'll have you back another day.
Yeah,
and thank you for the listener.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And thank you for the listener for tuning in this morning. And we trust you learned something. And whether it's homes or auto we talk about or debt or taxes or wills, all play an important role in your overall investment plan. And with knowledge and confidence, your investment returns, well, it's more money for you. So we'll play the show again in a few weeks. You can check out all my shows in the past 3 years on my website. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca. Call 902-499-5879. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.